Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Like the minister said, we have to build a house of our own, because white America no longer wants to support us. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Lead Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Yes, we are building a house that's burning, brothers and sisters. The house is burning down, and as we qualify ourselves for better positions in the house, to get closer to those who are quote unquote in good schools and more successful, as we try to get better education and more skills just to seek more work in his falling world, we're not, every step we're taking towards integrating in his world and building his world, we're actually delaying the building and the success of ours. So what we're doing here at the Time to Move, Time to Leave movement, what we're doing here is trying to get the ones who see ahead of the curve, the ones that want to be at the beginning of this separation movement. This is what we're doing at the Time to Leave movement. We're trying to get you here to organize, and we're specifically trying to build the Muhammad Farms community. However, if you're not in a position to come to the Muhammad Farms community, we want to encourage and assist you in taking over the community where you live. That's what time it is, brothers and sisters. We have to separate. We have to make real steps toward it. We have to qualify ourselves for building communities. We got to get skills that we can use that are nation-building skills. I was thinking at the time what must be done. Now, Minister Farrakhan was talking about how our enemy supplanted the kind of education that would help us be an independent nation with liberal arts education. Education that's not threatening to his world. Time for us to work to get an education and use that education for ourselves. So I see two of our Time to Leave panelists on, and that's what we're doing today. Today is our panelist discussion, our Q&A. So this is your opportunity in the listening audience to make a comment or ask a question, and we will do our best between all the experience and our panel to answer your questions. So I'm going to open the mic for Dr. Rijli Mukmin and Sister Majida Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, sir.
How are you all this evening?
Fine, sir.
Fine, by Allah's grace.
Praise be to Allah.
Well, the minister said that there's no future. So if there's no future here, then we got to build one. We can't depend on them because they don't have one for themselves right now. They're in bad shape. If you notice, they're shutting down those jobs up there in the Detroit area. What's fascinating about it, they said that the reason that the car sales are low is that GM wants to be at the forefront of the driverless cars. And I don't know nobody, I've run into anybody yet that wants to be in a driverless car. So
come on,
who are they making these for? Or are they just going to make them and then force everybody to get in them? Because I ain't found nobody who really wants to do that. So we have got to decide, you're not going to be able to stay here with these people and live free. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to put you in a four-wheel driverless prison. Okay?
Wow.
That's what they're getting ready to do. And anytime you get out of line, they just take you offline. You go over there, over the bridge, and that's it for you. You think they plan? Well, you know, Europe don't want that stuff. You go on the internet and check it. Europe is against it. Europe does not want that stuff. So why do Europeans, what do they know? What do they know that Americans don't know? Well, it just don't make no sense. If you're driving around a driverless car, got it, what, GPS? Now, you know those who got GPS. You see them GPS take you off the bridge and over a swamp. You've seen that. So what if your car was going based on that GPS? Come on now. You know that this does not make any sense. But yet we want to trust white people because we are scared of them. So we want to trust them. You know, when they must know what they're doing, yeah, they do. Get rid of your black ass, excuse me, black behind. So what are we going to do?
Good question. That's the question.
And what we're doing here down in Muhammad Farms is building a new reality, and we know that it's tough for people to make that change. So we're trying to help them. As a matter of fact, we're trying to get some people to rent first instead of trying to buy, because it's difficult to buy sight unseen. Coming from one area of the country to another you don't know anything about, and then they come and try to purchase a house or purchase land and build a house. You know, it's just difficult to do that. But, however, you can rent. You can come and find a place to rent, and we try to help you with that. Then you rent, and then you might run into some other people and some situations. Brother Carlton and Sister Majida, you are very blessed into running into a real good situation that somebody wanted to get rid of that property, and it's a good price, and, you know, it easy for you to get into it, relatively easy. However, other places could be not as good, and you could be stuck with lemons.
Right.
So
that's
if
right.
you come and rent first, plus y'all did a lot of work on that house. It's a nice house, but y'all told me y'all did a lot of work cleaning it up and so forth. Some people get situations where, hey, it's too messed up, but they don't find out too late. You know, like all the wiring has been eaten by rodents, and they ain't got no damn wiring in the house. Right. You got to rewire the whole thing. That's not good. You know.
Right.
So if you rent, then if you don't like it, you can always go back where you came from, or you can go someplace else. You know what I mean? But if you rent and you want to stay, then you get together and you look around for the best situations. Because what we really want to do is build a community. We really want to stay close to one another, either purchasing homes that are close or getting some land and then build it on it. Okay, so but that takes time and trust. I mean, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to build your house next to somebody that you really can't stand, and you have the choice, right? So we gotta find circumstances and situations. So that's what we're promoting right now, is people to come. Number one, you got to come down here and visit for a while.
Right.
You got to check it out. I mean, you can't even come down. You shouldn't even come down here to rent unless you come down here at least one time and drove around, talked to some people. You know, see if you can handle the situation, and then, you know, rent, find a nice place to rent, and then your next step would be to purchase or to build. But, you know, it takes time, and we understand that. We know a lot of people, and I'm going to shut up, but we know a lot of people want to move, but family member situations won't allow them to do that. They got to take care of family. You know, when it comes down to it, it's the Muslims who's the only stable people in their families, but the other people don't want to be Muslim, but then they pull on the Muslims to help carry forth, straighten them out of their mistake. So we wind up dragging all these people along. They don't want to come and be a part of us, but yet they depend on us. So we understand that. So we have to work with you so you can work your way out of those situations. But you got a goal in mind. That is to be free and have peace of mind. So I'm going to shut up and see if we got other people who want to talk or want to call in. This is a call-in show, talk show. Ask your questions. We do the best to answer those questions. If you got a statement, that'll be fine, too. But we want to know, is anybody out there? We don't want to be talking to ourselves, because me and Brother Carlton and Sister Majida and Sister Ann, we talk to each other quite a bit. All right? So we want to talk to y'all. So with that, I leave it there for Sister Majida and those people on the call. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir. And thank you very much for that foundation of our discussion. And you've heard it, brothers and sisters. This is the opportunity for you to comment on what Dr. Rishi says. Let us know if you agree with our approach, or you disagree with it, or you have some comments on our approach, or you have some questions what we're doing. Some people might say, Sister Majida, some people might say that we're jumping the gun. Some people might say, what are you all doing trying to start a community when, you know, nobody's told you to do it, or we haven't gotten an explicit directive to go to Muhammad Farms and buy property. So what are you all trying to do? So give us some feedback. You know, let us know what you think about that. Any comments, Sister Majida?
Well, you know, I would say to that just right off, when you say explicit directions, I mean, separation or death, it doesn't get more explicit than that. I mean, that's a warning. So we're waiting for anything outside of a divine warning. You know, what more would you need to come? But, you know, I like what you said in your opening when you said we're delaying the building of our own communities when we're focusing so much of our talent, gift, skills, and talents upholding this dying world. You know, that's true. And, you know, Dr. Ridgely said the same thing. You know, it's so hard for us to just, you know, extract ourselves from, you know, whether it's a family situation or whether it's a working situation. We just have ourselves, you know, it's like our focus has just been directed in a direction that's so anti our freedom. And then how do you allow yourself, help yourself, you know, be able to be turned from that so that you can see a clear way, you know, back to even the idea of building a community? There's just a lot. There's so much. There's so much. I talked to my, you know, I don't want to give too much information about who he is, you know, but I talked to a family member, a young brother in my family in his early 30s, and he's having difficulty. He's having difficulty because he has committed himself to 5 years and has gotten his journeyman electrician license.
Wow.
And because of the culture that he's living in, you know, he's hard pressed with an accomplishment like that to find where he fits in. And I mean, I'm so proud of him on one hand, and then just, you know, really struggling to just try to help him on the other, because he's in an environment where he can't even see where his purpose is. With all that he's committed himself to do.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Go ahead, Dr. Rizzi.
you know, our people are afraid to commit to something that's not already up. Our people want to be a part of a winning program, okay?
Right.
They don't want to be a part of something that, that might not make it. And so then they look around at everything. There's nothing stable out there right now. You know, the day of a 25-year job and a watch, it's over. All right? So when they look at this world, they can't find out where they fit that will be secure,
right,
because there's no more security.
Right.
And yet they don't want to pull out and do their own because they don't have no confidence in themselves and no confidence in others like themselves. So, hell, they're in a hell of a situation.
That's it.
You don't have no confidence in your own people, and you don't have no confidence in white people no more because, you see, they don't have no confidence in themselves. I mean, you never go into a white man's store and the employees be talking bad about the boss. Okay? They usually keep a stiff upper lip and promote the business where they're at. They don't be down in it. You know, that's called that, we call that nigger mess, right? Well, hell, white folks are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the end of their world when they're going to complain. They're white. Then they're going to complain about their white boss to a black person.
No, that's
it. Lets you know it's over. They
real right,
keep you thinking that oh, everybody's okie dokie, all white folks are together and we gonna make it. They got faith in each other and all that. But when they just let you know they don't like the people they're working for, they know what they're doing, they're stupid and all this type of stuff. And here you are trying to buy a brand product and they try to tell you the people are stupid. They don't know what they're doing. Now that sounds like something that a black person would say in a black person's store, but not a white person in a white person's store.
Right. Right.
You made me think of something, Dr. Richie. I got a question.
Yeah.
What you described to me made me think of what's happening in Europe with the European Union and the Brexit, except on a global scale.
Right.
What do you think about? Because I always thought that the European Union was a good idea. You know, even though they're white folks, but they're white folks. They got similar things to live next to each other, and why don't they just try to get one currency? But what they're doing now is they did it for a while. Now they hate each other and they're busting up. So, you shed some insight on that?
Well, I mean, remember they had World War I and World War II. All right? Who was that among? White folks.
Yeah. Mm.
They had the 30-year war. They had the 100-year war. The only thing that keeps white folk together is beating up on black people.
Right.
And when they don't have us around, they fall back in cave-like behavior with who's
that's
got the
right
biggest back. Okay? So they the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said they cannot live with each other in peace. So if they can't live with each other in peace, then why do you think you can live peacefully with them? But, yeah, what's happening over there with Brexit and all that is like they held it together for the fool, after World War II, for instance, you had the Russian scare. So then the Western people stood together to fight Russia, right? Well, Russia's down. There's no reason to sit together no more.
Wow.
So it was only to unite one set of white folks against another set. Well, hell, when that set folded, well, there's no reason for that to unite no more. So now everybody is trying to see what they can steal. You know what I mean? So that's how when the bank robbers, they stay together. You see the movies, they stay together until after they rob the bank. Then all of a sudden they start shooting and killing one another, trying to take all the damn money.
Right.
Right.
Because they can't trust one another.
They can't trust one another. They hell, they're thieves.
Because they know their nature.
They know their nature. So they say, we just stole this from these people over here, but I know you're going to try to steal it from me, so I'm going to steal it from you first. As a matter of fact, I'm going to kill you because you're probably going to try to kill me. And so that's what they do.
They show no honor among thieves.
No honor. They show you their behavior, and you still trying to integrate it. See, Negroes know there was a mistake, but they don't want to admit there was a mistake. And a lot of them are so old, they want to hurry up and die, okay, so they don't have to live up to that mistake. And they want the young people to know they made a mistake, so they try to act like they didn't make a mistake, and they know darn well they didn't make a mistake, but they don't want – they got their pride is more important than their own life. So they go, they gonna die, and they hope that nobody finds out that they made a mistake until they gone. I mean, a lot of them, you know, they die after Obama was put in office. That's all they needed to see. We got a black president. A lot of them died then. Some of them hung around, and now they really upset because now the honorable Mr. Farrakhan told them, hey, you know, it ain't going to make no difference whether you get a black president or not. It ain't going to make no difference. Okay? So you had it for 8 years. Beautiful brother and family. I love them. But, hell, they didn't do a damn thing for us. And now only thing they did was piss white folks off when they put in Donald Trump, okay, a stone fool just because he hated Obama. And now they walking around with one leg because he going to take the other leg in a minute. All because of Obama. So their hate for Obama is making them to destroy their own country. Oh,
right.
Man.
Praise due to Allah.
Well, we must have said, somebody must have said something, Dr. Ridgely, that spurred a question or some interest, because we got a caller who wants to either ask a question or make a comment. Caller with the last four numbers, 1276. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Brother Gerald, and I'm calling from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Okay,
Mr. report. Report time, Brother Gerald. How did it go?
Oh, Dr. Ridgely, it was absolutely fantastic and even magical. A lot of information was drawn, and I'm still trying to process it. But we did get your clip.
Tell the people what we're talking about. Tell the people what we're talking about.
Thank you.
Yes, we're talking about an economic conference, an economic expo that was coming. It was a Black Economic Empowerment Expo. And it was coming after the one that we had 2 weeks.
Where you at? What state?
Sir? Mississippi.
What state? I don't know.
This was scheduled for the Delta in Greenville, Mississippi. And by the way, you know, that's some of the most fertile land in the world, Greenville, Mississippi.
Wow,
but, yes, sir, the Mississippi Delta. And we went back. Following the conference that you attended and gave the keynote, you did an excellent job, and you set us up, and so we just set us up for this one that we just had this past weekend. We had some really heavy hitters, some powerful speakers, some presenters, and they came and they really respect what the nation and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has set up and the mission that he has put us on, the nine ministries, and we were representing the Ministry of Agriculture. But we did get that clip in, Doc. The people were real responsive to it, and we want to thank you for that.
Yeah, and tell them what the clip was about.
Sir?
Tell them what the clip was about.
The clip was about what we have to do as a people. There's no more money in farming dealing with the raw product. What you have to do now is you have to take that raw product and do a value-added piece. Like, Doc, what do you say? You don't grow wheat, you grow flour. You don't grow wheat, you grow bread. So to take it to that next phase and the showing how the monies that the farmer used to make was purposely shut down. So there's no money for that farmer doing it raw. He has got to get into that value added market, making a strive to control it from the land to the man. That's where your money will come. So it was beautiful. Now, the comment that I wanted to make was, we had a brother to attend one of the farmers marketing sessions that was at a big motel in Jackson, Mississippi. And as they were leaving, and it was a session on marketing, as he was leaving, and this happened today, as he was leaving, one of the promoters, the manager that was putting on the event, pulled his shirt tail and had him to hold just a minute. And that manager, when she got him by himself, she reported to him that they are about to sink the ship, that they are about the food, it's about to be a food shortage, and people are going to be going looking for food to take food. And this happened today, and he just called and told me or shared that information with me. So someone that's in the know that has access to this information is saying, coming out, but they're saying it in a whisper, that this system is being shut down. Like you had been telling us all the time, Doc, what was coming.
That's right. That's right.
They're saying it now. They recognize it. And so I'm just throwing that out and maybe get a little feedback on that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wow, I mean, you know, that's deep. And, you know, white folks, like they did up there, and when they closed down the Ford place up there, you know, the GM place, because they don't tell nobody. They just do it.
Right.
Okay? So what do we expect for America to do? To tell us in advance, look, we about to go down? No, they ain't going to tell you nothing, except maybe a whisper. I say a whisper to some, you know, it's about to go down. Because what? They want you to go down with it. And if there's a boat leaving town, they want to be on that boat before you get on the boat.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So they're not going to tell you. That's like the car companies. They're not going to tell the employees about to shut down because they know the employees will start looking for a job. They'd leave.
Wow.
They don't want to leave until the last day, until they put the last boat into the car that they're going to sell. They don't want them leaving until they put that last boat. Then they tell them, oh, by the way, that's it for the day and forever. What? Well, that's the way they go do America. Now, the only reason why America ain't sunk yet, okay, I'm going to put the article out soon, but, you know, I predicted it was going to go down January 2016, and it didn't go down. So people said, Doc, see, he missed it. He know what he's talking about. Well, I'm going to let you know what happened. An article I've already written. I'm going to publish it soon, but I'm going to let some other things transpire a little bit longer because I want y'all to see that Doc ain't stupid. But what's happening is the Chinese is buying up America, okay? And so we're going to wind up on a yellow man's plantation. The Chinese are buying up America because what they tried. That plan to do for America, they changed their mind and tried to do it to China in 2016. Okay? It didn't work. And the Chinese markets did not panic. Okay? They did not panic. Therefore, Soros and the big bankers got egg on their face, and the Chinese dollar is stronger than the American dollar. So now China is buying America. Whereas America thought that they could buy China, buy the Chinese people or sucker the Chinese people. But now it's the Chinese people who are moving to America and buying up America because that the trick of bringing down their economy did not work in 2016. So now what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit here? America is for sale. All these areas. All you have to do is just ride up and down the road here in southwest Georgia. I'm sure the same thing is over Mississippi. But
yes,
I know
sir.
In southwest Georgia. Just pick out what house you want. Damn it. Just come drive and pick. And say, well, look at that. Look at that. Y'all, you just drive. Say, look, it's old folks. They're going to die soon. Let me start now. Put my beads on that right there. That's why I say you come down here and rent. And they just drive by some of these big mansions and put your bead on it. You know what I'm talking about? You say, okay, I'm waiting for that cracker to die. I'm going to get that right there. So I'm going to wait. You know, I'm going to wait. I like that one right there. This is going to happen. It's promised to us. We're going to take we gonna be in their homes, y'all. But, hell, you got to be close so you can take advantage of it.
That's right.
Okay?
Right.
You got to be close enough to see it. You know what I mean? And just say, okay, look, I want that's the one I want right there. I'm going to keep my every week I'm going to go by and look and see if them crackers dead or not. Okay, and time I see a reef on the damn door, I'm going downtown and buy that sucker. You know, talk to the family and tell them, look here, we'll take it off your hand, all right? Ain't no problem, all praise due to it. But, yeah, the system is going, and they want people to go buck wild. So
right.
This is why the Stable Goods Project, we're getting ready to ship stuff out starting the beginning of next week. You're going to start shipping stuff out so that you can have what you need, well, right after Christmas, have what you need to store in your home,
yes,
so
sir.
You can stay there for a minute when the system falls. Because she's going down, y'all. So, Brother Gerald.
Yes, sir.
What was the, I know you don't can't get a person's name, but what was the position of the person who gave the brother that tip?
This was the MAC, the cooperative, what is it called? Mississippi Association of Cooperatives, Federation of Cooperatives, Southern Federation of Cooperatives. Thank you, Linda. Yes, sir. But probably the number two person in that organization.
Wow.
Hmm.
Was a brother Dr. Bernard there?
No, sir.
Okay.
But the person that who relayed that message, who actually went to the meeting and they pulled him to the side, that's our brother who does the garlic.
Okay, Brother Larry.
Oh, you want to call no names?
Well, no. That's who was told it, but we don't know who told him.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But okay. Anybody else want to comment,
sir?
I was talking to the brother. We got any callers in that want to comment on that? Sister Vegeta?
Is your opportunity, callers? This is a live discussion, and I know you have questions, and you have something to say on your doubt, and you will be invited into the conversation.
So, Brother Gerald.
Yes, sir.
What were some of the outcomes of the conference? What are some of the things that came out of the conference that people are going to be able to do?
Well, what we are planning to do, a lot of people were coming to make a sales pitch, you know, to get us on board with their program, and, you know, which was some powerful programs. So what we have decided to do initially is that we, our cooperative, that we're working with the farmers, we're going to examine each one of those presenters. They dropped some websites and all that, and we're going to do an investigation on all these different ideals and concepts that they put forth, and then we're gonna see if we can fine tune, and you know, like the bee, we'll take the good and leave the bad, and not that we're stealing from them per se, but we're gonna borrow some of those ideals and sit down at the table with them to bring them on board. So we had We had Brother Paul Muhammad, who was talking about sovereignty, talking about trust, talking about the legalities of going and doing sovereign nation piece. He's also a robotics instructor, and he builds websites. We had also a brother, Derek Tucker, who represents a company, Rhino Nation, and he deals with the concept of pooling people resources together, even if they're operating in different locations, and just using almost like a Bitcoin type concept where we can trade and barter and do all that from these different locations, and having one entity to maybe manage it, but they will do all the marketing, and so it's but there's a website that we got to do some more information, some more study up on that, and also we had Sister Ethel Kane she has an organization, Prosperity of Poverty Movement, and she's from Mount Bayou, Mississippi. And we had also some presenters that were dealing with credit, how to build your credit, and the banking systems and all that. And it was real informative. Brother with Hot Tamale, he gave a beautiful presentation on starting building that empire. How do you do that? And he said, just like the messenger said, you start with small steps, small steps. Mm-hmm. So it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weekend, sir.
That's it, Doc. I'm moving to Mississippi. Just let you know.
Don't say that.
Leave my sister Magina here with the bakery. You can go.
see what you started. I just wanted to say also, you know, Brother Gerald, thank you for the information, because, you know, when we think about the grand scheme of everything that's going on and how you talk about, you know, we all know this thing is going down, and then that little, I won't say a tidbit, but, you know, that was really important, you know, what that person dropped on that brother with regards to where they know the food system is going. And I would say the upside in that is that yourself, Brother Gerald, and we have our farm, and then brothers like that are organizing ourselves around being able to feed ourselves as this thing goes down. That's the upside, because otherwise it's like, where's the hope? But then the downside of that is the masses don't know. The masses, they just don't know. We just think everything's going to work out. So, you know, what do you say? It's a great and dreadful day at the same time.
Right. But I want to say, me speaking of a bakery, we have got to get the bakery. I mean, because the bread was the major selling point, and all of the presenters seemed like they touched on that. One presenter got up and said that because Brother Musa gave a talk, and he was saying how our hardest problem is getting black people to buy from us. And I mean, the presenters just lit into that, and they really, really, really talked about even people in the nation. You know, we in the nation, and we ain't even supporting ourselves. And stuff like this is coming out. So the thing was that this person wants 100 loaves. This other person wants 50 loaves. So it's beyond capacity. So I'm saying, Sister Magida, get that bakery. I think, Doc, this is what we should really, really, really focus. If we have to go, I got a begging suit I put on, and I'll go beg for some money. But we need to get that bakery up and running, because
yes,
that could be it. And then the bakery that we're working with, Doc, they throwing out, they want to get it by the thousands of pounds. They want to get the flour, you know, at the thousands of pounds at one time and stuff like that. So I just talked to them again. But if we could get that bread up and running, we might need 3 whole bakeries.
Well, the thing is,
yes, right,
bakeries have a limited reach unless you put in a bunch of preservatives anyway. So, you
right.
know,
right.
Mississippi, you know, you got the whole state of Mississippi and plus parts of Alabama and parts of Arkansas right there. So here,
yep.
we had Georgia, and then Alabama. And then, I mean, hell, it's a lot of people around here. So yeah, a bakery is something that people, you know, to get it fresh, that means you got to get it every day. Right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why when we was in Cuba, that's what struck me as very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That we was on the bus, and then we see people going in an apartment building and coming out with bread. There wasn't no sign on the building.
Right.
Okay? But people know for that neighborhood, they know they go in there, that's the bakery right there. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's right there in many spots in Cuba. Okay? Because your data, you know what I mean? It's got to be close at hand. They just walked up into the apartment building, and bought their bread, and went on by their business. So, again, that's something, your daily bread is something that everybody wants their daily bread, right? So, yeah,
sure.
bakery. Mm-hmm.
Close to them.
And close to them, because you want it fresh. So, yes, it's a matter of what we're trying to do is get some people to move here to help Sister Magida. And we think we got a few fish on the line. They're trying to get here. They're working trying to get here. It's just that they got a lot of strings attached. And you know, we're trying to hook them up so they be comfortable in coming and meeting up with other people Because it's hard for people to come not knowing nobody.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's tough. You know, usually people move with their family or they move for a job situation. But to make a move, just to make a move, that's difficult. And this is why we've got to start people communicating with each other, start knowing one another, and then they move together instead of trying to move apart. Now, in your situation, you had five people move with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't like you came here by yourself. You and your husband by yourself. You brought a whole tribe with you when you came.
Right.
So, you know, that's, if you can pull that off, that would be good. Otherwise, you probably need to hook up with somebody else to make that move.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And we say that too. We say that when you're talking about moving, you know, collectively, you know, align yourself with, you know, we're taught that, like-minded people. You all are talking about separation. You all are talking about relocation. You know, you all develop a plan about how you can do that together, pool your resources, and do that together.
Because the thing is, if you develop friendships, then you bring a friend with you. So you got at least one. Or two.
Right.
You get others, you know. And just because they're Muslim don't mean they're going to be your friend. You gotta find people who are compatible, who like the same types of things, who want to do the same thing, who see things the same way. It's got to be compatible. It's almost like a marriage. So once you get to know one another, then look, let's move together and build on our relationship and get other people into it. We don't do enough of friendship, family development in the Nation of Islam. We just do not do enough of that. What we do, we go to meetings, and then we go home. We go to meetings, and then we go home. If we had established a ministry like the Ministry of Agriculture has done, through the Ministry of Agriculture, many people have found friends amongst other ministers of agriculture in different cities.
Right, that's right.
You know, but if they had done this with all the ministries, then you would have opportunities to have like minds to be working together to a position where they can see they can make some things happen together. But no, hard-headed Negroes like we are, we just looked at those ministries as something that maybe we should do, maybe we should not. No, that was nation building. That was straight-up nation building. And so ministries together, start doing conference calls, start doing meetings outside of just Savior's Day, so that you can learn one another, do projects together. That's when you really learn somebody, when you do projects together and you see who going to do it and who going to follow through. And you say,
My husband and I bear witness. We were both in the Ministry of Agriculture. We started the Ministry of Agriculture with another married couple, Sister Opal and her husband, Brother Terrell, and you know, we were all in the mosque together, but we, outside of, like you say, Dr. Ridgely, work in meetings, you know, that was pretty much it. But it wasn't until we decided collectively to start the Ministry of Agriculture, because that allowed us to work together outside of the mosque environment and on a more regular basis. So we were cultivating soil and, you know, just that whole aspect of growing food and the care and the attention and growing the food and making sure everything was up and productive, it put us in close contact with each other on a regular basis. And this was before, you know, there was no courtship, there was anything, but we found each other through working with the ministry, establishing the ministry and then working in the ministry. And here we are 11 years later.
That's right.
Okay. See y'all?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But Dr. if that bakery, I'm on that bakery now. That bakery, Vegeta. That bakery, if we get it set up, that will bring some employees, so that when people do move, they can fit right on into the system. If we can think that.
But we gotta get her at least one more assistant.
Yes, sir.
That she can depend on, and then she can grow and add people. You can't. You gotta be careful. My son made a mistake in his business, in his T-shirt business. I told him not to go out and get that, the more expensive equipment. But until the bottom fell out in the 2008 financial crisis. And all those big contracts that he had, them companies couldn't do it anymore. And yet he was stuck with his equipment. If he had stayed to the small equipment and done the what he could, and then when things slowed up, he would not have been stuck with overhead. But he didn't listen.
Mm.
So you've got to normalize Muhammad, say, make a firm step. I mean, look at brother over there in Mississippi, the hot tamale man, right?
Yes, sir.
I went to his fast food restaurant. It was really nice, man, and I mean, nice food, but the look of it was just it fit into the fast food genre in terms of the proper lighting, the proper signs, everything that you know you wouldn't know that it was quote unquote black, right?
Right.
So somebody who's just driving through, and they try and pick, they see a hot tamale, but the way it was laid out, you wouldn't know it was black until you went in there. And you probably still wouldn't know there was black owned because, you know, they see black folks working in all these damn places. No, there ain't no black folks owning. But he started off in a truck. You know what I mean? He started off in a truck. He still has that truck. But now he's moved to a nice restaurant, but he had customers when he opened that restaurant. Okay? So.
Oh, right.
Good example of how you go about developing a business. And now. He ships hot tamales all over the country.
Wow.
Yeah. So it can be done, but you got to make firm but sure steps. You got to do your homework. You got to do your mathematics, your calculations. Islam is mathematics. Islam. Okay.
Yes,
and
sir.
So you got to make firm.
You got to know your numbers.
You got to know your numbers. So I really appreciate. Brother Carlton and Sister Majida and her family for making that move because they show that it can be done.
Beautiful.
They're showing that it can be done and done successfully so that others now can say, come on, let's make this thing happen.
Praise be to Allah.
Allah, that's right.
So, if you're enjoying this conversation, listeners, press that 1-year dial. And let us know that we're on point or let us know we're off point. Or if you have a question or if you have a comment or a story you want to share, please press that 1 right now. We're down to the last 12 minutes and you will be brought into the conversation.
And while we're waiting, you know, I was listening to Brother Bradley and the call from last week. And, you know, he just dropped so much in that call. And, you know, just listen to him talking about, he said what's most important to him and his family is trying to experience freedom.
Beautiful. That was beautiful.
But, you know, I don't understand. I thought this was a free country. How come you got to do something else different to experience freedom?
Yeah, it is free. It's just free for us.
You know, so you mean tell me that there's people in America that ain't free, and gotta try to be free?
Wow.
Wow.
I think that means they're working for free.
That too, huh?
Yeah, that's all right. You come in the world with nothing, you leave with nothing, that means you was what? Working for nothing.
And then we really have to decide that we just don't want any more of what he's putting out. We just have to stop buying what he's selling. We really do, because it's to our detriment. And I don't even see how we can think we'll have a future if we continue to buy what he's selling. It's just not going to happen. We're losing. We're losing on that note.
Well,
we're losing.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine who I've been debating on Facebook. Everybody's been looking at the argument because, you know, he's an integrationist, right? He's a Democrat. Integrationist, right? And so you got people like that who are confusing people. They're very eloquent with their BS, and they're confusing people. So that's why I had to beat up on him in the public so that to stop his argument. And the thing is, they don't want to because a few of them, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, they always let a few of us get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then those few say, see, I got out. Anybody can do it. You know you're lying. They only let a few out. And instead of them few reaching back, pulling people up, and they just tell them, just work hard. Now, why don't you pull somebody up, damn it? If you got out and you got some money, why don't you sell a damn business to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Instead of you building a bigger house and such crap like that, if you say, oh, yeah, you can make it too, why don't you help somebody make it? No, you know, if you reach back and try to help somebody make it, them crackers will snatch that from you.
That's right.
That's not part of the game. And so what they do, they get together little boules, they get together and set up businesses and hire that they're black and get white employees so that people don't know that they're black. But they do a damn thing to help black folk, but they making money.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Hey, I know,
wow.
I've been out here for a long time sneaking up on niggas. All right? And the games they be playing. So they be confusing the people. They be confusing the people in terms of taking the people to the programs of Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. They be lying to the people about, oh, no, you can make it, but yeah, you ain't doing a damn thing to help nobody make it, but you making it off the people. You got your little thing, you're making it off the people. You ain't doing nothing to in fact, make a job for no damn body else.
Well, Dr. Rich said something because somebody pressed the 1. We got a caller who has a question or comment. Caller with the last 4 digits, 1964. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, I come. This is Sister Pamela from Louisville. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, it's just real quick. Just want to let you know that I'm enjoying the conversation. And like my husband said a couple of weeks ago, it's a process for us. And wish we were there. It seems like we take 3 steps forward and 5 steps back. But we're trying to make some things happen here with the flower, too, to maybe help us to get there. But just want to let you know I'm very enjoying the conversation. And just really, I'm jealous because I wish we were there. But we're, inshallah, things will happen maybe down the years. But I just want to let you know that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much for getting brother the greeting. I mean, I love y'all. Y'all doing a great job up there in Louisville trying to make some things happen. Yeah, of course, I like to have all the great people down here with us, but can't do that necessarily. But, you know. But yeah, I'd like to have all the great people down here with us, all the great workers, not the blabbermouths, not the lip drippers, not the stage coaches, not the ones who like to stand up and pontificate and salute. I'm talking about those who know how to take some things, make something out of nothing, make things happen, build something.
Sir.
That's what I'm talking about. So we're gonna start this up and spread back to the rest of the world. We're gonna rebuild the ways of cities. Goddamn, you gotta have something to rebuild with. You can't rebuild no ways of cities with no tax base. That's why they let you be mayors of these big ass cities, because there ain't no tax base no more. They can't fix nothing. And they're selling all the infrastructure to foreigners. Hell, you go up there when you parking space in Chicago, it don't go to Chicago. It go to China, go to France.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? But thank you, Sister Familia, and get your greetings to your husband for us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We certainly will. Thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Down to the last six minutes. Callers, if you have any more questions, you're down to the last 6 minutes. You can make a quick question or quick comment. Other than that, we will wait to see if anybody pushes the button. Well, Brother Gerald, we want to thank you for calling in and hanging with us in this show, brother. You know, Sister Ava has Brother Ruben is the correspondent from down under in Australia. We like to invite you to be our correspondent from down under in the Mississippi Delta.
Yes, sir. Me and my wife would feel honored, brother. We would feel honored.
Yeah, just call in anytime.
You come and bring us what's going on there in Mississippi. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're not getting calls in the Majita to move to Mississippi. I'm going to let you know that right now. But, yes, come and report. So the other people, when they're coming down, they have a choice whether they can come to Georgia or whether they can come to Mississippi. Because,
yes,
you know,
sir.
A lot of people got, Brother Gerald, I want you to take this very seriously about what Brother Calvin asked you. Because, see, there's a lot of people, brother, they're afraid to come to Mississippi. Okay? They
yes,
think
sir.
That everybody down there ain't got no bathroom. I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
They ain't got no bathroom. They got to worry about white boys, you know, putting crosses, burning crosses in their yard, and them being lynched. I'm telling you, this is some serious ingram.
Well,
right.
True.
So what? Well, hell, ain't no more black folks being lynched down there compared to what's being lynched in the cities now.
You're right.
For
yes,
real.
Sir.
For real. Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on now. See, yeah, you may be some incidents, but I've been back and forth down there a whole lot down in Mississippi, and I had. Before I came to Georgia, I had that bad expectation of Mississippi until I started going back and forth to Mississippi because of you,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And seeing, hey, this ain't that bad. Hell, this is Mississippi. I didn't know this.
We don't live long ahead down here.
You know, it's real. I mean, y'all got a nice house and a nice neighborhood and so forth when y'all live out there in Vicksburg, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, this is Mississippi? Because people actually think that we don't even have bathrooms down here, inside bathrooms down in Mississippi. So, yeah, brother, you got to come and give a report every night about what y'all doing, what y'all co-op doing down here, what the farms are doing, and the black businesses and so forth that are, you know, down there making it. People got to know these things because they really do have a bad conception of Mississippi, mm-hmm. Alabama, and Georgia.
Yes, sir.
We've got we've got that progressive mayor in Mississippi.
Yeah,
yes,
sir. That story right there, we got to know more about it. Because to me, that's a heavy story where we feel that they killed Chukwe, right?
Right.
We feel they poisoned, right? But look what the black folks turned around and put his son
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's a big story, man. That's all testiculars. Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's some serious testiculars for his son to do it, and the people to back it. Now those
are
stories that should be all final call. Need to go down there and do a big story on that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And that shows you. They tell me black folks ain't gonna get together. You know, black. No, they did in Jackson.
Sure did.
Right.
Did in Jackson.
Right. Huh? Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now, the only thing now we got to tell the Chukwe's son, don't you eat with them damn crackers. Don't you eat with them crackers. Unless you carry your own food, you got to be like Farrakhan and carry your own cook. Don't you eat with them crackers.
Right.
Don't
sir.
Drink and eat with them crackers. But see, it's difficult when you are in political office. You got to go to these soirees and these, what they call, power lunches and stuff, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
It's a very dangerous situation that we put our people in when they go into the politics. Because you got to go to them soirees and them power lunches if you're going to get things done. And at any of them things, they can slip something in your food or in your drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he needs to have somebody with him, bringing a, you know, no, thank you. We have our own water. Oh, no, thank you. I brought a little something with me. I hope you don't mind. No, I ain't eating your shit. I'm not eating your damn food. God damn it. Y'all got a history of this crap.
That's right.
He make that clear. They won't bother him no more. We're down to the last 60 seconds. 60 seconds. Any announcements, closing comments? Don't all speak at once.
We need a bakery.
Okay.
Well, we got one, but it's got to get bigger.
Yes, sir.
We got to make it grow. We got to make it grow. That means that some of you people were bakers.
I wanted to just point out how the mission of the Ministry of Agriculture and how you are fulfilling that mission, Doc. You are sending flour. That's because we got to provide that one meal a day for the 40 million, right? But
right.
You, Staple Goods Project, you're sending that wheat flour going all over the nation, brother.
That's,
and that right there is in fulfillment of what your mission statement states. And I want to just commend you on it, and we're going to help you with that.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand?
Thank you, Brother Gerald, Dr. Visionary, and Sister Matita. See you next week. Allah willing. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed. Uh-huh. Down and out, losing ground. Yeah. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Mm. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel,
uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into Richmond,
uh-huh.
Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see.